classic edition of the Nerd Watch. Sorry, I had to do it. Sorry. I, of course, am G Money. I'm joined by the one and only Professor Barry. Gannon is in the house, and Format is in the house as well. Our Nerd Watch extraordinaires, geeks, not only geeks, but smart, educated men on all things nerd culture. Glad to have you guys in studio.
I've been taught a lot of things, but not educated.
Questionable.
I should have said questionable educations. Would that have worked better?
Nefarious.
Nefarious, absolutely nefarious.
I like that.
Yep. Silent Sean is in the house as well. Yay! Silent Sean is in the house as well. Yes, I can't believe he's here today. I'm so excited. He watched Ant-Man with us, and I could not shut him up during the movie. It was insane. Also joining us today, ladies and gentlemen, is the owner, proprietor of the one, the only, Maui Comics and Collectibles. Alika's in the house as well tonight. Yes, Alika! He's here tonight as well. He'll be joining us because he also saw Ant-Man this week.
Oh.
So there's a lot of stuff on our plates today, okay? Oh, and by the way, I wanted to mention as well to all of our new listeners on Akaku on KAKU 88.5. Is that about right?
Am I going to look the jingle? Even just if checking it isn't
in,
right.
Just checking. Those of you that I didn't formally welcome to the cast this last week, we did premiere on KAKU 88.5 as of last week. So, we're really glad that you guys can, join us. We hope you guys enjoy the show. You guys have any questions, comments, you guys can email us at gmoney@nerdwatch.com. Professor Barry, and of course, is it Professor Barry at Nerdwatch or is it Barry at Nerdwatch?
It's Barry
at MyWatch or nerdwatch.com as well. We got to set you guys up with emails, by the way, Format and Gannon, so that we can email you too.
So you guys can spam our folders.
Just in case I didn't say it yet again, Silent Sean is in the house!
Actually, for real now. For real this time.
We're playing with the illusion.
Shut up already!
Jeez, just won't let it
Did
go.
Did I ruin it?
Yeah, you totally ruined it. Thanks, Alika.
He is here this time.
That's right. We're going to be doing...
Late people are late.
For the next hour or so, we're going to be talking a little bit about... I'm starting... When we do after movie review shows, I'm not going to call them... I think I'm going to call them Nerd Watch Spoils. So, you know, we might as well, because we always do it anyway.
Yeah, let's just go full tilt.
Let's go
spoil.
Full tilt.
On,
it's going to be called Nerd Watch Spoilers.
Nobody's looking at a podcast and going, should I see Ant-Man? Let me check the podcast, what these guys thought,
all right,
with their ambiguous reviews.
Nerd Watch Spoils is what we're calling it this week.
Batman is Bruce Wayne.
Oh, my God, I didn't even see that movie yet, man.
Who saw that
my
coming?
My bad.
Who saw that coming? That's a massive revelation. The only person at this table that has not seen it is the man who is the professor of cinema, Professor Barry.
Jesus. Credibility gone.
I know. I told him credibility is out the window. But do you? We're going to do a Nerd Watch Spoils. I know you weren't excited about the movie, but is it okay that you did edit my review.
I did.
And you did kind of get the gist.
I know how the first act and second act go.
Just plug your ears. Yeah.
There's something you don't want to know. It's fine. I understand that. Just tell us not to do it. But let's get into it. All four of us have seen the show. Here's the thing. Is that
if we do it.
Listen.
And then he's going to tell us not to do it?
The thing you did 5 minutes ago, don't do that.
I think the only
Let me
time,
hop in my TARDIS.
Yeah, the only time he would actually step out is if we were doing the episode 7 spoils, and then he'd be out of here if he had not seen it. That's a guarantee. We're talking all things Ant-Man for the next hour.
We've talking some, Ant-Man, that's
yep,
one.
That's one. And then we got a whole bunch of other stuff that I'm going to do for our exclusive content for us on the podcast as well. So for those of you that are listening to KAKU 88.5, we're talking about the Ant-Man. And then coming up exclusively on the podcast, we've got some more exclusive content coming up about movies we watched other than Ant-Man this week. So let's start with Gannon, shall we?
Oh, crap.
Let's start with Gannon this evening as we talk about the one movie that mattered this weekend. It went up against Trainwreck. Not only did it beat Trainwreck, it came in at number one. Trainwreck came in at number three this weekend.
How'd that happen?
What?
I have
what
no...
beat out Trainwreck?
Yeah, what was two?
Minions?
Right? Minions.
Oh, Minions.
Minions beat out Trainwreck.
Minions actually beat out Ant-Man internationally, too.
Yeah, yeah. So Ant-Man has captured the imagination of America and the world. Here's the bad thing, though. It is one of the lowest-grossing Marvel movies of all time.
Fantastic.
How did I call it? I said they were lobbing this one in. Right? They are smart.
So, Gannon, let's get right to it. Nerd Wars, spoil it as much as you like. What did you think of Ant-Man starring the one and only Paul Rudd?
It follows in the Marvel tradition. Mm-hmm. It's a light and fluffy movie. I still have the same problem I have in most Marvel movies post-Loki. The villains just don't register. The villain in this movie just never registers. And the other thing that kind of killed it for me is that I reached a point in the movie where I realized it's flat out the same plot as the first Iron Man.
Well, it's a good point. It is.
Everything else around it, though, the opposite of it was great. I like the camaraderie with his group that he was executing his heist with. I like the family angle of everything else, which is the first time I realized you don't really think about it that much when you watch Marvel movies. They never really deal with family.
Right.
This is the first time that did that. So, oddly enough, it ended up kind of being the more family-friendly movie than anything else they've done, strangely enough.
Right.
But, you know, I had a good time with it nonetheless.
Right.
I can see why it kind of fell behind versus all the other Marvel movies, and it doesn't feel like they really pushed it that hard versus Age of Ultron, but I don't think they expected it to be the same hit that everything else was going to be.
Was there anything that stood out to you where you're like, man, that was really good, or man, that was really bad?
I expected a lot of the visuals as far as the shrinking and the enlarging
right.
to be top-notch. It's been a while since we've seen anything like that, since probably Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Right.
I was hoping there was actually going to be more of that, and I don't know, I guess it didn't disappoint me, per se. As Format was saying, it was actually kind of fascinating to see in 3D, which I'd like to give it a shot.
I would, too. So overall, you did you dig it?
Yeah, I still dug it.
All right. Moving on, Alika, get close, man. Get up on this mic.
I'm like jumping out of my seat.
There we go. All right. You did not see it in IMAX.
I wanted to, but we weren't able to due to schedule constraints.
No, I'm just kidding.
But now, after having seen it, if we had seen it in IMAX, I think I would have just been like lost in the Marvel universe and never come back.
So, sir, you watched it with your kids.
Yeah.
Is that a...
And it kept their attention the whole time.
So, did you like it? And what kind of experience did you have watching it with the kids?
Well, they loved it. And, you know, considering it was a Marvel movie, they weren't heavy on the costumes all the time. There was a lot of non-costume scenes, you know, where the kids kind of get fidgety.
Right.
And they were there the whole time. Like, but basically, I just loved the entire movie and they loved it. But, I'm basically agree with Gannon here on, you know, the villain wasn't that strong, but I think that was what's great about the movie. Nobody should have gave a crap about that villain. Like, I was there to see Paul Rudd do some funny stuff, make us laugh. You know, the costume was on point, especially when they showed that old file footage of Hank Pym doing the Ant-Man missions, you know what I mean?
Right.
And they threw back to his wife, who showed up, and she was in full Wasp uniform.
Right.
And
that was totally unexpected, by the way.
And it was great, yeah. I mean, they didn't really focus on it or anything, but you're
spoilers.
Just like,
yeah. Hey, nerd watch spoils. Hey, sorry.
That's it.
So, for you, it was a film that you enjoyed immensely.
Loved it, everything about it.
I am going to come right back to you, because I want to get... I'm going to come right back to you in just a minute, because I want to get the... from a comic book man's perspective of how this Ant-Man was treated. I want to know what you think, so we'll come back to you. Format, you saw it not only once, but twice. Once with the Nerdwatch crew, and then once with your kid.
Mm-hmm.
Both experiences, good, bad?
I hated it. No, I'm not bad. It was fantastic both times. The 3D was actually quite good.
Wow.
Like it wasn't overly done.
Right.
It was just enough...
Like the bathtub scene, that must have been crazy.
Oh my goodness, yeah. Like,
jeez,
you just felt
in 3D.
You just felt like so small. When everything got huge, like your plane of perspective was just...
We should probably explain that it's not a shower scene of Paul Rudd.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, what a great shower scene.
What a great shower scene that was.
So good. So good.
Probably make sure that's thrown out there.
No, Paul Rudd was in the shower.
Yes, he was.
Everything's
yeah.
clear.
Everything
he
is
nothing
in
else
the shower.
To say.
Nothing untoward here.
Yeah, don't.
Nothing.
We want people to go see the movie, right?
Right.
So, things get small.
Yeah.
The water was cold.
Yeah,
right.
There you go.
Right. So. Do you have the same complaint as well? Do you find that the villain was also weak?
It's not so much that he was weak. It's just during like 3/4 of the movie, he just felt generic. And then once he put on the suit, then bam, game on. But until that point, you're just like, eh.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Do you think Paul Rudd was a good selection for Ant-Man?
Fantastic.
Did he work for you, Gannon?
Absolutely.
Alika?
Yeah.
Work for
you?
You
forget how old he's gotten.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
He, you know, spoilers.
He certainly doesn't look
He's got some pretty tight abs in this movie
yes,
as well.
Yes, he does.
That was not Silent Sean, ladies and gentlemen. Just to let you know.
Are you sure? That's kind of what it sounds like.
So overall for you, it was still a fun movie.
Oh, yeah,
second,
definitely.
The second time you watched it with your kid was great, too.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to I'll give you a total all-star rating here in a few minutes, but let me give you my impressions. First off.
I'm not going to go to Barry?
Well, Barry.
What did you think you would have thought of that movie?
Of Ant-Man.
That shower scene.
Well, you know, after the shower scene, I left because there's no reason to stay. You know, I got my money.
You got your money.
Going
right
for the one of us that's on
that
bike.
And 50 Shades. Yeah.
Well, listen. I tell you what, Ant-Man was, I actually enjoyed it much more than I thought I was. I was very much down on the movie. I think both Barry and I were.
Haters.
Yeah, we were total haters. We were total haters on the movie. I was a little, being a guy who likes Edgar Wright, not a big fan of At the World's End, but still huge fan of Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz.
You got
all right,
audible
everybody.
Reaction.
Oh, well, I know. Jeez.
Shaun is very vocal today.
Yeah, he's coming to podcast and
extremely vocal. We got a peanut gallery over here tonight. Good
Not
God.
So silent, Shaun.
Not so silent tonight, are we? All right. Well, I mean, I didn't say I didn't like it. I just thought, it's not my favorite one of the three Cornetto
trilogies. We better be
careful.
We might jump into a World's End.
I know we will. But I liked Edgar Wright. And, of course, when we finally heard that he left the project, I was very worried. And then they brought on a multitude of writers. And then Paul Rudd came in to write along with Adam McKay. I get worried when Adam McKay writes anything because he's part of a lot of disasters that turned out to be hits. Mm. Talladega Nights, Anchorman 1 and 2, Anchorman notwithstanding, which is a great movie. Anchorman 2, not so much. But a lot of the stuff, Step Brothers sucked. You know, stuff like that. Just,
you didn't like Step Brothers?
I didn't like Step Brothers at all. I
Don't touch my damn drums or yeah, open your ass.
Yeah, I'm not that. Not
and then
that.
He goes and puts his ass on the drum. Come on.
Yeah, no.
You're laughing. That's you what you, saw, you liked it.
So I got worried. And one of the things that I did notice, and I didn't mention in my review, and I should have because I don't think I was being fair, was that I could see Edgar Wright's touches in the film. His work is all over the place in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Especially
a lot of
the ending
stuff that he did. It was flat out of the movie.
Yeah, it was that ending finale was totally Edgar Wright in the little girl's room in Paul Rudd's daughter's room, Scott Lang's daughter, excuse me. But there are also scenes in the movie where you know it's weird, and you know that was Adam McKay and Paul Rudd. Like one of the very first scenes, Nerdwatch spoils here. Where he's working at Baskin Robbins, and that stupid kid comes in with the whole, give me a hamburger and
something hot,
fries,
something hot and
right.
fresh.
I don't have anything here.
A pretzel.
This is an ice cream store. Give me a pretzel.
With some hot
right.
mustard.
Right. And then Paul Rudd's like, listen, somebody help this idiot over here. Well, I knew that was him and Adam McKay, but you kind of felt there was a clashing of styles, which is okay. I mean, I could feel it. It didn't interfere with it, but you knew that there were different writers on the film. Moving on to one of the men that stole the show for me, Michael Peña was amazing. He
yes.
played Luis. He was, without a doubt, one of the biggest surprises of the film. He was fun.
When he first came on the screen, I was expecting to be very annoyed by him.
So did I. He was fun. He was funny. He was not annoying. And every time he would do one of
the same thing out of T.I.
narrating things,
his setup speeches were just
they were so great,
phenomenal. He is so good in that movie. And you know, to be quite honest, the other two gentlemen that were with him, T.I. and there was I forget his name.
The Russian dude, who is that?
That's Demelchin, I believe his last name or something like that. But I figured T.I. would come in and be all, you know, be the gangster.
Try to throw down some ego
and throw,
stuff.
Right, yeah. And throw down the whole Ebonics thing. He wasn't like that at all.
I also think a lot of his role got cut a little bit, too.
You think so?
Way.
Yeah. But it was good, though, because it totally worked. He didn't come off as annoying or stupid or anything.
It was a two-hour movie, and it was like flowed like water.
It did. Mm-hmm. It
went by really quick.
Yeah, it did. It went by super fast. I mean, I have a feeling that I'm going to watch this again in the theater before I even watch Avengers in the theater.
This, to me, beats Avengers 2. And I loved Avengers 2. I love anything Avengers. I had nothing to poo-poo on that.
Right.
But Ant-Man was just the superior movie. I was more emotionally involved.
Yep.
Like, it grabbed me a lot harder.
Absolutely.
The, you know, the weak villain didn't matter. I mean, he was probably the least of everything.
The lesser, what you have here is that you have, I haven't even mentioned Michael Douglas and Evangeline Lilly Paul Rudd's chemistry together.
Amazing. Falcon appearance, which I'm like dying to jump on.
Okay, we'll talk about that when we get back to our comic book speech here. There were things in the movie that very much surprised me. I don't want to spoil everything, but Michael Douglas did an amazing job. The first 2 minutes of that movie set up something in that little 2 minutes in the very beginning.
Man,
sets
how did
up
they
everything.
His face in that young scene? Was that CG or
it was
amazing they, makeup or something?
CG.
See, it must have been CG.
Much
yeah.
better than what they did yeah. with Jeff Daniels Bridges and
yeah,
Tron.
Yeah,
it?
Right, Bridges. Right. Jeff yep. Bridges, yeah. Yeah, but
like that one, you could tell was CG.
Yes,
But the setup they do in that first 2 minutes of Ant-Man is great, and it explains everything about the Shield, about Hydra,
about his relationship to Stark,
about his relationship to Stark.
It also set up his temper.
It did, and it's
a very key part of
rough
his character.
Dude.
Yeah, very much so, and I really like that that they did address Hank's temper. He's a very temperamental guy, and it was very good that they actually brought that out. I mean, he wasn't smacking around his wife or anything in the movie.
They never hinted or touched on it.
Right, right.
Maybe
they
she
didn't
went
really
to the
talk to each other when they were in that movie.
Maybe she chose to go to the microverse to get away from him.
That's true.
That's why she didn't come back.
Yeah, she's like,
oh, great. Now I'm going to have to cut
there,
that out.
Yeah.
Relax.
Work for
we're on a KAKU, sir. Anyway, I'll figure something out.
Sorry about that.
Don't worry about it. Right. Anyway.
He actually has to do something.
Yeah, I know. I
had to make it work out here. But overall, I thought that the Evangeline Lilly was great. She was wonderful to watch on screen with Paul Rudd. She was absolutely adorable. And she was really tough. She didn't take any crap from her dad or Scott Lang, and it was very fun to watch her and their chemistry together. Was very.
But it was hard
fun.
To figure out what side she was playing.
Yeah.
At some points, you almost felt like she was going to be loyal to Cross.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You were. That I think they intended to do like so you would have like some kind of brain twisting.
Right. 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 I feel that they. I think what your point was, Gannon, was I think that she felt like she was. She held her own against everybody else, which was kind of nice.
She wasn't somebody to save.
Right.
And there's more to her than Black Widow.
Right.
Out of the three or four movies Black Widow's been in, it seemed like there's more to this character than anything Black Widow.
Yeah, she's...
There's so much implied with Black Widow. You actually get more explanation with this one.
Yeah, and she did a fantastic job. The training sequences with her and Paul Rudd were great. There was a lot of sexual tension between the two that actually worked. It was fun. It wasn't overt or anything, but it was fun and it worked well for them together. And so, there's a lot of I don't harp on a lot of things in this movie because I thought the Ant-Man suit was amazing. The Ant-Man scenes were just phenomenal. The one thing they didn't do in this movie that I noticed is that he didn't become big. Like, you know, because he can switch from being really small.
Well, even
big.
In the
well,
comics.
There was that shower scene.
Yes.
Enough with the shower scene.
I know.
I can't get past it.
It was amazing.
Well, in the comics, he only started off as Ant-Man.
That's true.
He only became Giant-Man, I think, in like issue like 20-something of Avengers.
Right.
He was able to get
right.
the... Or no, it was a Tales to Astonish issue where he got the giant
There
powers.
Also wasn't much call for...
But they
no.
set it up. They set either. It up. They set
yeah.
it up.
Yeah, they did. They did set it up. I will say this too. You guys have harped on Corey Stoll, Darren Cross as the villain. I actually thought he was fairly decent. I think he played it very well because he comes off as a sniveling, brat because he felt like he's
a throwaway villain.
Right.
He's a
Ronin. He felt like a guy that. Was really upset about the fact that Hank never shared everything with him. So he felt this total resentment for Hank and what he was doing, why he didn't share, why would you push me away, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And I understood that, so he didn't feel like a villain. He felt more like a petulant child, almost, you know, or somebody, you know, a rebellious kid.
Yeah, but who wants that as a villain?
True. But see, and that's what's great about it, because once he puts on the suit, he becomes something even
he's a little scarier.
But that's what I was talking about from the start. Like, his character is flat out a carbon copy of Obadiah Stane from Iron Man.
Right.
The mall guy running the business. He's jealous of the guy that he's running it for. He's trying to master the technology that the other guy's been working on. Down to he gets a way bigger, stronger suit at the end, and they have a throwdown where they're throwing stuff at each other.
That's a good point. I didn't even think about that.
You know, he felt like a very strong carbon copy of Obadiah Stane, only, you know, Obadiah Stane was better.
No, he was. The acting was better, for sure.
Yeah, the acting, for sure.
When you stack them next to each other, like, I was actually very surprised that Marvel did not catch on to the fact that they're flat-out telling the same story of Iron Man 1, just with the trappings around it being different.
Yeah, that is very true. I didn't notice that myself, but it didn't take away from the wonder it that didn't. Was
Ant-Man. I mean, it's still an enjoyable experience. It's just the plot seemed hackneyed.
And in some respects, and that is exactly what I'm saying, it is hackneyed because there were a lot of writers on it. There was no real focus, and Peyton Reed had to come in and kind of clean up the mess and put everything together. So,
to be fair, I would have gone on any ride with that cast. They could have put that skin over any Marvel movie template. Yeah.
They pulled it off despite those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it did.
I wasn't bored with the you know, you knew it was going to happen.
Right. Now, since, and I'm going to say, before we get our star ratings here, I'm going to say first off that I thought it was an amazing, fun ride, and I can't wait to see it again. Now, Alika, and of course Gannon, being another comic book aficionado, and so is Format.
Everybody, what's you then?
I'm just a moderator, sir. Let's get to the comic
nice
book.
Out.
Yeah. Let's get to the crux of all comic book movies. As far as it holding up to what Ant-Man was in the comics, there's a lot of things that were alluded to in the Ant-Man movie. One being the biggest one being the Quantum Realm, which was a huge thing apparently, because from what my understanding is that's the connection to Doctor Strange in
the
near future.
Door.
It's the foot in the door. So as far as Ant-Man's portrayal, as far as Ant-Man's his persona and the things happening around him, how accurate are we in that universe for Ant-Man?
Pretty damn close.
Yeah, pretty close.
Yeah, Scott Lang's introduction into the Marvel universe is pretty close to what we saw in the theater.
Right, because he steals the suit in the.
He
comics.
Steals the suit to rescue the Doctor. Who's able to save his daughter's life.
Right.
In the movie, he steals the suit because it's his way...
Because he gets set up by Michael Douglas.
Right.
Well, yeah, he gets set up by Michael Douglas. But before knowing that, he stole the suit because it was his way of getting together with his daughter again.
Right, because he thought in that vault was some kind of payoff.
Right, it was huge score.
Right.
And all he got was a suit.
Right. Right. So that's why he took it and said, this has got to be worth some money.
Right.
Something. So his introduction was fairly good.
Yeah, fairly close.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much. Alika, what about you? What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I wasn't reading Ant-Man, but when Scott Lang was introduced, that was like the 70s when they were doing like... And Hank Pym, that was the Ant-Man that I was familiar with, because I was a big Silver Age fan growing up, so I mean, that's the only Ant-Man I knew. And they didn't really... They were just like, his life was over, his continuity was over.
Right.
I would love to see like an Agent Carter style old Hank Pym Ant-Man.
Right.
But it would be hard because you can't get Michael Douglas to do it, but just like, it would be interesting to see.
I would like to see Hank Pym sitting next to Nick Fury.
Yeah, I mean, that meeting would be
in
nuts.
The shield.
Or
right?
on his shoulder even.
What about you, Gannon?
I'm not as familiar with Scott Lang, to be honest. Most of what I know is about Hank Pym, and I still feel that the only reason that they went with Scott Lang in the film versus Hank Pym is because eventually you would have to address the temper and
the, oh, and the beating of the wife. And the...
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I think that's big. their smooth little way of just getting away from that, because the hardcore fans of Hank Pym would eventually demand that.
Because even if they if it was Hank
they
Pym...
They would. Cause
they would, yes.
Because people still want to see Tony Stark go through his alcoholic phase,
yeah,
too.
Exactly. Right.
I do.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, they thought that party scene was like going to start crashing
into
it.
This is probably as far as they'll ever take it.
Yep, and that's the worst of the Iron
Man
movies.
That's the worst they'll take it.
Yep. Professor Barry... Are you regretting not watching this movie?
Now that we've dispelled it out for you. Yeah,
on a star scale of 1 to 5.
On a scale of 1 to 5, this is a 5 for how painful this was to listen to. Movies spoiled, surprises gone.
Well,
there's this one surprise I haven't spoiled with a keychain, and it's amazing.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Damn. You just ruined it for him.
Now when he sees a keychain, he's going to...
In the end credit scenes, we have
well, listen, we did not... Listen, this is Nerdwatch spoils now, so should we talk about the last two end credit scenes that are there?
Sucks.
Just put it this way, there's a big payoff with Evangeline Lilly.
There's a huge payoff with Evangeline Lilly.
You'll see it a mile away, though, for that.
Yeah, it was coming.
No, you do.
Like, when it goes, it's like, womp womp. Like, you know, it's not a big thing, but the...
Right.
It's just an awesome scene.
Right. No,
it might have been something
right.
that was intended to be in the actual movie
yeah.
proper.
Yeah, exactly.
It was very satisfying.
Now, there is the final scene, Professor Barry, which I will not ruin for you.
Thank you.
I will say this. Which I will say this. It does make...
Well, not ruin it. However.
However. But there is this one thing that they make an allusion to, and that is to Civil War. There is something that a character says at the end of that, of his little diatribe about the Accords are not going to allow this stuff to happen. So it seems as if the Civil War is already in motion.
Like the paperwork is...
Right, so Tony Stark has started his whole... By the way, Tony Stark is not in the end credits, okay. So don't worry.
You know what would be great, and I don't know if you guys are aware of...
Tony Stark is Iron Man, though.
Just spoiling everything.
Just, yeah. Just thought I'd throw that
just
one out
putting
there.
Out there. Goodness gracious.
Currently in Secret Wars, they're redoing Civil War. Not redoing, they're actually continuing. This is actually beyond the time of the original Civil War. And now there's two sides across America. The Civil War is still going on.
Wow.
And there's the Iron, who are aligned with Iron Man, who want to put the registration system into effect and everything, working for the government.
Right.
Ms. Marvel's with them. Captain Marvel, I'm sorry.
Captain
not Ms. Marvel.
Marvel.
And then there's the Blue, who are all with Captain America, the resistance to the Registration Act and everything, and there it's a complete civil war of the United States.
Isn't it Miss Marvel? No, Captain Marvel's
no,
DC.
It's Captain Marvel. It's Carol Danvers.
Oh, it's Carol Danvers. I thought that's Miss Marvel, though. Isn't it? Or
no,
am
she's
I
Captain Marvel. Yeah, Miss Marvel is Kamala Khan, the Muslim young teen girl.
But in the movie, in the MCU universe,
Captain Marvel.
She's going to be Captain Marvel?
Yeah, so Captain Marvel was originally the male, Captain Marvel.
Uh-huh.
Marvel, the or whatever, the Kree... Kree or Krull? I'm going to get
Krull.
My butt kicked by...
I think it's a Krull.
Why are you looking at me, sir?
Oh, yeah. Right. Look at the DC guy. Help me out, man.
Yeah, you're the worst guy to ask.
Are you part of the Guardians?
Yeah, well...
At one point?
Yeah, exactly. But Carol Danvers was like a co-pilot partner slash pseudo-love interest of him. And when he died of cancer, one of the few Marvel characters to die a human death or a very, you know, and
right.
he's still dead.
Right.
And so she became Captain Marvel.
Oh,
Ms. Marvel is a completely different character. Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. I knew about the Muslim Ms. Marvel or
Kamala
Captain,
Khan. Yeah,
Kamala
yeah.
Khan. I knew about that. I thought in the universe, in the cinematic universe, it was going to be Ms. Marvel as Carol Danvers was going to be Ms. Marvel. I didn't know that.
No, yeah, Captain Marvel.
Interesting. Okay, all right. That's
but it's a lot of cosmic stuff going. Whereas Ms. Marvel is grounded into Earth reality.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Marvel is very a cosmic character, where you bring in the Watcher and the Beyonder and all this kind of crazy stuff and.
Good
you know,
lord, this is crazy. There's
I love
so
cosmic
much
Marvel, and that's
stuff.
Why the Guardians is some one of the richest. You know, it doesn't seem it, but or maybe it does. It taps into this giant section of the Marvel universe and just opens it wide open, the cosmic. And so when we get to Infinity War, the payoffs from Guardians of the Galaxy are just going to be crazy,
ridiculous. So here's the thing, Professor Barry. There is one spoiler that is not necessarily a spoiler. They do make a reference. To something quite obvious, they make reference to, or who we assume, is Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
They do. They've got guys that climb and swing.
I think they're talking about the same guy.
They're talking about guys that climb up walls. It's very interesting. They kind of threw that in there. So that was very interesting. But there was
super hot.
She
super hot. Fine. Yeah.
There is one Avenger in the film.
That scene was so great.
Alika wanted to talk about it, Gannon, and for Matt. What did you guys think of seeing, which is not a spoiler because it's in the trailer now, Falcon was in Ant-Man.
He was?
Oh. You missed it twice?
I did.
So...
Well, I didn't want to ruin it for Barry.
You're just going to ruin anything for
Barry. Actually, you see him in the trailer.
Yeah.
He's in the trailer, you see him in.
Yeah, so, but Barry closes his eyes.
I know, first trailer, so...
Ever since the Genesis trailer,
I don't blame him.
No, please keep spoiling the movie, please. Please, keep going. I'm just taking it all in.
Falcon, I think he was a good pick.
The costume's evolving. They didn't really give him space to grow in the last Captain America movie, but, like, I was kind of hungry for it. I was glad to see him.
Yeah.
They have his color scheme coming.
Right.
Not the original green and orange, which is good. I mean, I hope they never go there. But they've got the second generation red and white suit coming up. You know? They're pulling his colors out, so I mean, that's something to get excited about.
It would have been easy to get Tony Stark or Captain America or even one of the Avengers.
I think I would have been over it already because when I was watching Avengers 2, I saw too much of all of them.
Yeah.
It was like when you've had a giant satisfying buffet watching Avengers 2 and they bring over a bowl of ice cream and it's, you know, it's good and you know you like it, but you don't want to eat it, but you just eat it anyways. That's what Avengers 2 was for me.
That's my whole life, sir. anyway. Moving on.
Just got close to home.
I know, man.
Are we going to have a very special Nerd Watch right now?
We're going to have a Nerd Watch intervention.
You know, you're surrounded by people that love you.
I've actually got a list of gripes. Is that okay? Is this the place for that?
Totally okay. Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Oh yeah.
Oh, no.
As the Krispy Kreme donuts
come rolling in. Awesome, that's just great to fight this my whole life. Anyway.
Is that a cry for help?
No, it's good. I don't know where else to do it. I'm just kidding. Anyway, I was thoroughly impressed with Falcon. I thought that he did a great job in the film. It was a great scene for him.
Awesome.
Thoroughly unexpected. Let's be honest. He acted with nothing. He's doing the fight scenes with essentially nothing. So, I mean, they probably put him in a harness.
I mean, I saw Ant-Man. He was there. I saw him, too. I mean, I'm pretty sure he was there.
So he did a phenomenal job. And I think that because of this, I can't wait to see more of Falcon. I was very impressed.
What if they actually go full tilt and Anthony Mackie becomes the new Captain America after Civil War, where Captain America is supposedly supposed to die?
I think that's what we're setting up Bucky Barnes for, by the way.
I know. He's gotten more movies in his contract than Anthony Mackie.
Yeah, I agree.
But I'm hopeful because I actually like that. I like that Falcon is Captain America in the comics.
But
right
does
now.
Anybody want to see Infinity War 1 and 2 play out without Chris Evans?
That is a good point. I don't know if I do. You're right. You want him there at the end.
You'd want him there at the last Avengers movie, if it is the last Avengers movie.
Well, in Civil War, he was just, temporarily dead. Not really for real.
Well, they never stayed dead.
But since we have two possible new Captain Americas, I mean, of the two who I would choose, I think it's only right to put Bucky Barnes in that suit first, and then...
That's the order that it happened in the comics. Bucky was Captain before... Falcon.
They could go another route where he doesn't die and he quits Captain America for a while.
He could.
And then somebody just takes over the mantle and then
there's a couple ways that it happens. Yeah. The soldier serum sucked out of him.
No, but I mean, Captain America could still die, but he could end up in that other realm, remember in the comic where he gets and then
that's where they store all the guys they want on cold storage.
Correct.
They all come back in Infinity War.
The super
you're like, we freed all of you guys from the temporary time.
This super Thanos. Frozen realm. Yeah, it's crazy. So getting back to Falcon, Gannon, did he work for you? Was he a nice little surprise?
I was worried it was going to be a little forced to just toss an Avenger in willy-nilly, but it made sense the way they did it. I mean, I don't want to spoil how that came about.
How it came about? Yeah, yeah.
It's a fun revelation.
Just know, Barry, how it comes about is amazingly surprising. It's great.
You don't see it coming.
You do not see it coming.
Even though you know he's there,
they fight. I know it's coming because I'll think I'm not seeing it coming, but I expected it to come. So when it comes, I didn't see this coming, but I knew it was coming. So.
Listen, I know you're angry, but you said you were watching this movie this weekend. And we thought you were going to...
Yeah, you had a responsibility.
You had a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, you might want to get yourself to blame.
That's right.
The professional film critic.
Respect yourself next time, Barry. Yeah. That's my advice.
Doggone it, Barry.
Let the people down.
I like how the four
the loving needs to start with you.
This is why I shouldn't be part of anybody's intervention, because I'm just going to blame them the whole time.
Right.
So you're...
That's when you look at Barry and you go like, you're supposed to be... Our pillar, sir. Our
depending pillar. On and you blew it.
You blew it. That's okay. It's all right. Well, I can't wait to hear your review next week about this movie. So
we're.
You can probably write a review
right now.
I actually am writing it right now.
So let's get it. Let's go around the table, shall we? We'll start with format. Format.
Four stars.
Wow. Four stars. Alika,
what's
I was going
to be bolder and go 4.5 because
wow!
I'm a comic movie guy, and this was riding the high line of what I expect out of a comic movie. I went in expecting it. I got everything I wanted. Right. It flowed, like I said. It was great. The kids' attention were kept.
Right.
And, you know, I would have put Avengers 2 somewhere high up there, and it's got to beat that. So
interesting. So 4.5.
4.5. It's high up there.
Gannon?
I'll give it 3.5.
Wow!
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
But he's the DC guy, so
he's trying to do it.
Well, we're getting
so you can give 5 stars to Suicide Squad and it'll mean something.
No. I can be objective.
All right, 3.5. That's it. You know, Barry.
But again, only because, like I said, the villain didn't really register.
Right. Actually,
a little bit.
I agree with you, by the way. The villain didn't register. He was totally generic.
Listening to you guys, I have to say that when I did my review, and of course, Format's review is up on our Nerd Watch Facebook page and on Maui Watch, by the way. It's a link to that if you go to the Facebook page. You can read both of our reviews on it, both of our thoughts on it. Let me just say that Format's was his review of the movie was fantastic. I don't even want to...
It was poetry.
it was good.
Shakespeare could have done no better.
It was great, first of all. And I'm not blowing smoke. It was good. You can read both of ours there. But I will say this. I, listening to you three guys, I think that I came out of that movie, I don't know, more hopeful and really in love with the picture. Maybe I'm being too nice. Maybe I was being too nice. I gave it a 4-star rating in my review.
Yes.
Maybe I think that... I'm forgiving a couple of things, like Corey Stoll and like some of the disjointed writing, and maybe I should reflect that better with another score. I mean, Gannon does make a good point about some of the things that felt hackneyed, like the Iron Man thing. You know, I picked up on that, but I was like, I'm letting it go because I'm having so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you know, maybe I don't know. Maybe I should. It's a tough call. I'll stick with my 4 stars, but I really think that I'm being generous in that fact because I had such a good time. And maybe that's the point of Ant-Man. It's nice to walk into a movie and feel the joy watching a film. I like that.
It wasn't overloaded. It wasn't heavy or bloated. Like Avengers was all the everything in the kitchen sink.
This
was
the isn't this like the shortest Marvel movie like since the first Iron Man? Like, this was an hour and 55 or 2 hours.
Well, I think it was really meant to give us a break until Phase 3
comes. Yeah, how long was Guardians?
It was 2 hours and 6 minutes.
Iron
Man,
157.
Iron Man was an hour 50.
Really?
Yeah. So, it was the...
Well, there was no Marvel Universe yet. They didn't know how far they could push things yet.
That's very true. Very true. So, overall, I'm going to give it 4 just because of how much fun I had. Everybody's chemistry together. Michael Peña, Michael Douglas... Paul Rudd and Evangeline Lilly. Heck, I'm not even going to give big credit to Corey Stoll because once he was in that yellow jacket costume, it was game on for him and it was very fun. So, a 4-star movie for me. I would watch Ant-Man again. I loved it. Well, but it does come. That does come with.
And I did.
And then you did. And of course, that does come with some caveats. Just be prepared. If I'm being critical, there are certain things that don't work. But you know, overall, great film. So,
can I say that 10 years ago, I went with my family to California, and I got food poisoned, and I had to stay in a hotel room by myself while they went to Knott's Berry Farm. This was kind of like that. Just wanted to.
Oh, Barry, you should have been there. There was a free ice cream truck.
It was amazing. Paul.
There was a chocolate fountain.
I don't even know if you know this, but Paul Rudd actually came to the screening. It was crazy.
I shook his hand.
He shook his hand.
He showed us his abs.
He did. And they were hot.
He
Barry.
Said, "Where's Barry?" I said, "He didn't care enough to be here."
He's the professor of cinema, but apparently he had something better to do. So I don't know what it was. But Barry, I really want your thoughts on this movie next week. I really want to know what you think. I'm very excited to hear. Because you're for all intents
and I hope you hear all our voices in your head while you're watching this movie. Yes.
Don't worry.
I'm sure you will. So that's Iron Man for you. Hey, listen.
What did I say?
Spoiler!
What did I say?
That's Ant-Man for you. Anyway, we got another... Can you believe it? We got another 20 minutes here. So let's move on from Ant-Man into some things that Professor Barry may have watched. Anything exciting this weekend that you haven't had a chance to see?
Well, the film I saw has no Hank Pym, no Scott Lang, but it does have Sir Ian McKellen in one of his best performances, which is why everyone should see it. It's called Mr. Holmes, in which he plays Sherlock Holmes at, I guess you'd say, the twilight of his life. He's in his late 80s, and unfortunately he's beginning to lose his mind.
As in Sherlock Holmes?
As in the Sherlock Holmes.
And it's not Robert Downey Jr.
It's not Robert Downey Jr. It is Bill Condon. This is the first time they've collaborated since Gods and Monsters.
Monsters.
One of the best films of the 90s. So it's exciting to see these two finally work together again. It was nice to see Condon do a great film again.
Right.
You know, after two Twilight movies. It was really nice to see him back in at top of form. The film
maybe we should do commentary on Twilight movies.
Why?
It would just be like five dudes around the table going, "Oh, this sucks.
This is stupid."
Dude, that would be the greatest commentary. We should just do a "this sucks" track over Twilight.
Then you go like,
"Look, is this a werewolf?
Chicks like this.
Why are the vampires sparkling?"
Yeah, it's awesome.
Just 2 hours of just going, "Oh God, oh God, no, please, no,
terrible." Anyway,
stop.
Bill Condon, Ian McKellen, Mr. Holmes,
Mr. Holmes. McKellen's Holmes is it's a deeply moving performance because you still see the rapier wit is still there. He's still razor sharp. He still has this keen observation, but he's starting to lose his mind because of his old age. So he's struggling to keep a hold of the man that he used to be. There is a case that it's not that he didn't solve it, but the way it turned out haunted him for decades and decades, and you kind of see how that's eating at him. Meanwhile, he's staying at his housekeeper's home. It's at this point where he doesn't even have a home anymore. He's staying at his housekeeper's home in her guest room, and he is mentoring her son in how to be a detective. And it's this beautiful relationship between the boy and him. And it's odd how that relationship, although there's nothing remotely nefarious about it, to use that word. But it does have a similar... It's similar to the way Ian McKellen's character in Gods and Monsters had this kind of mentoring relationship
with
Brendan Fraser. A very similar dynamic, although this is more of a father-son kind of relationship. The boy doesn't have a father, and of course, who doesn't want Sherlock Holmes as their father?
So this isn't a mystery, like him following a mystery in his old age?
It isn't. Like I definitely don't want to oversell and say it's a mystery thriller, because it isn't. Because there is a mystery at the core of it, and it's very, very affecting. The thing about the film that doesn't quite work is that there's three narratives going on at the same time. There is the mystery itself, there is the past, and there's the present. So you kind of see them weave in and out of each other.
Correct.
And like a lot of, some of these movies, you go, you're jumping through timelines and you're always hooked. This doesn't always work that way. There are some plot threads that are stronger than others.
Right.
But no question, I mean, this is one of the best things Ian McKellen has ever done. And anybody who only knows him as Gandalf or Magneto, that's great. But definitely see this because he's amazing. This is up there with his work in App Pupil.
Holy cow. Pupil is a very underrated movie.
He did App Pupil.
Great movie.
He did App Pupil and Gods and Monsters same year, back-to-back. And, just like looking at those two movies, you just get a sense this guy could play anything. And it's the same thing with Mr. Holmes. It's an original performance. He's not doing anything you've seen him do before. It's a beautiful film.
Right.
It's a quiet film. It's a character-driven film. There's no explosions. There's no action. It's a wonderful film. And I could say that, to kind of underline the strength of this movie, I saw it at the Maui Film Festival at the Celestial Cinema, where they have it outdoors with, you know, everybody watching it almost like Woodstock style. And, you know, if the movie isn't playing, you could hear people kind of talking, and it becomes kind of like an outdoor picnic.
Wait, there's like chicks with no bras on at this thing? That's a total new one for me. That happens on Maui? That's insane.
I'm talking more about more the community getting together and, you know, bonding through art.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Sounds groovy, man.
I saw it at the Maui Film Festival, and the audience was a very young audience, because most people really wanted to see the new Ian McKellen film, and everybody was engrossed by it. I got a hearty round of applause when it was over.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful film. People need to see it.
So how many Deerstalker caps would you give this film?
Because it is, it's a slow film. It's a slow film. I want to say leisurely pace, but no, it's a slow movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little less imperfect in that respect, and it's not as good as Gods and Monsters, but it's a solid film. A three-star film.
Three-star movie.
Yeah.
Even considering this is one of his best performances.
Yes. Okay. The film itself, it could have been a little tighter, could have been a little stronger, but in terms of Condon and McKellen, this is one of the milestone films they've made together.
Interesting. So three stars. So we should definitely see it then.
I think so.
Even for a nerd crowd, they may dig it if they like Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, this is
like Sherlock Holmes.
Absolutely.
And I enjoy the Robert Downey Jr. films, but this is real Sherlock Holmes. This is all about Baker Street and Dr. Watson and everything. It's a true Sherlock Holmes film.
I can't wait to see it then. This is gonna be awesome. So here's the funny thing. Did you know that Ian McKellen almost was not, he was almost not Gandalf the Grey or Magneto in X-Men, because if he had taken the role in Mission Impossible 2, he would not have been either one of those two characters. I read that article today. Very interesting.
Wow. And he would have been the villain?
Yeah, I think so. It wouldn't have been Anthony Hopkins, right?
Oh, wow. Because that movie, it stalled so many career choices, that the shooting went so long. Tandy Newton, this isn't that big a deal, but Tandy Newton was supposed to play the Lucy Liu role in Charlie's Angels, and she lost it because Mission Impossible 2 went too long. Yep. And, of course, the one that's really devastating, Doug Gray Scott, was supposed to play Wolverine. And Hugh Jackman was a last-minute replacement for Doug Ray Scott.
Oh, that dude's kicking himself.
Doug Ray Scott would not have been a good Wolverine.
We don't know that. Anything to the equivalent. He's never done anything.
Gannon, why do you have to make so much sense?
Well, we don't know. Maybe he would have been brilliant. We don't know.
That's true. Good point.
Would have been a very different
Nothing would have Wolverine. Saved the Fox X-Men movies anyway. So.
If Michael Keaton can play Batman...
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I just wonder how many expletives.
No one saw that then either.
I just wonder how many expletives were in the in Doug Ray Scott's agent's email when the premiere of X-Men happened.
So don't worry, man. Mission Impossible 2. Stick with it, man. You're going to go places with this one.
You're going with it. Going places with it. All right, so Gannon, did you watch anything this weekend?
I saw the Death of Superman Lives documentary.
Shut up! When did you see that? Holy crap, we need more time!
It's been out since July 9th.
Where?
Is it out?
Well, they only put it on Blu-ray.
You have to buy it?
Wait a minute. I didn't know it was out on Blu-ray. I thought it was on theaters.
No, not theaters. It was released straight to Blu-ray. They did some theater screening.
Why are you holding out, man?
Do you have it?
I don't have the Blu-ray yet, but it's on my tablet right now.
Listen, lock the frickin' door right now. I gotta see this doc.
I don't have it.
Yeah, I'll get a copy. We'll screen it in the store.
Oh my gosh.
Actually, mine should be on the way. We can just play off of mine. But it's to get back to it, it's fantastic. It's everything
all the fanboys want to see.
If you've read up about it a lot, it covers all the ground that you probably know. The thing that's fascinating about it is that they show you all the concept art. And they had probably a smorgasbord of guys designing stuff. Creatures, set designs, costume designs,
everything. Did they get in-depth with the Brainiac set designs?
Absolutely. Oh, and they show a lot of it, too.
Oh, my gosh. Sorry for all these inappropriate noises, but I want to see this Superman documentary.
They go to John Peter's house, and they interview him a lot, and apparently he stole what would have been Brainiac's skull ship. They did a maquette of it, and he still has it.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know, the movie would have been great. That's the only thing.
It doesn't matter. I don't care. I watched Batman Forever.
Every single person assigned to that movie, they were not comic book fans. Everybody all across the board. The only person that touched that movie that cared about the comics was Kevin Smith. And a lot of the stuff he would have done actually would have been nice. It would have actually set up a shared universe before anybody else thought of it.
Dang it.
And what's cool about it, too, is that John Schnepp does a lot of things where he'll shoot tiny little pieces of what would have been in different scripts of it. So you get to get a sense of, it's not fully produced like movie style.
Do we get a 15-minute supercut of episode of Superman with Nick
Cage? No, but what you do get to see is you get to see a lot of costume things with Nick Cage. So you would have gotten to see what he would have looked like.
He would have been the ugliest Superman ever.
It's true.
I would not have bought him. Like, he looked like what Paul Rubens looked like when he was caught in the theater in his mugshot with the long hair. It's like, oh, what gosh. Superman ever looked like that?
Well, I mean, that's exactly what Tim Burton seemed to be interested in. He was interested in the outsider aspect of Superman. He was really latching on to the outsider aspect of it, which is why I don't think the movie would have worked. It would have been visually interesting to see. It would have been...
Sure, yeah.
It would have been fun to watch, right. But it almost in a train wreck kind of way.
So here's the thing. So... This is not a spoiler, obviously, because then that movie was never made.
The movie will never be made.
Right. At the end of the day, when the script that they, the shooting script that they had was...
One of several.
But the one that they were going to be using, was did the gift of flight come from the suit, or was it
He wasn't going to fly. He was never going to fly.
Wow.
But that would be good for Superman, because he, you know, people want to see...
That maybe, but Lex Luthor and Brainiac being the same person, no.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They literally talked about that at a certain point Lex Luthor and Brainiac were going to merge to where the head literally would spin around.
Two-faced Brainiac Luthor?
I want a grounded Superman, but I don't want a grounded Superman. I mean, come on.
Giant spider.
Well, the reason I like
You know anything about spiders?
Oh, yeah.
The most dangerous insect in the world.
I wanted to see this movie get made just because Tim Burton doing a Brainiac, him dreaming up what Brainiac's realm and... Like, you know, what the kinds of chairs he sits in and stuff. I want to see that. That's kind
of
crazy.
There was a lot of stuff going on in there. You see, there's the one version of Brainiac that they have is he's just literally a head with spider legs. They were going to do that.
Do they look
at
any comics for this?
I'm telling you, almost nobody.
I love Tim Burton, but come on.
Like I said, almost everybody associated with the movie, when you watch this documentary, not one of them cared about the comics. Not one. Hmm. Like, I can't remember his name.
Well, Nick Cage. Was he ever on the set being like, guys, I've read these comics.
Yet, when you watch him in they don't really do any new interviews with him. It's mostly archival footage and then stuff that they had shot when they were still doing costume fittings with him. Even he seemed to just kind of be like, yeah, we can do this and be totally different. We don't really need to follow the comics. Like, nobody seemed that concerned with following what the comics were. So it would have been an interesting experiment to see played out, if anything.
Wow. Unbelievable. So, is this a two-hour documentary, or...?
I think it's actually close to 90 minutes.
Wow, okay.
It's not very long. But on that Blu-ray that's coming out, it's got like another 8 hours of stuff that they shot, interviews and everything else that didn't make it in. So it's chock-a-block full of stuff to see.
Oh, man. Okay, so this is obviously worth everybody's time at this table.
If you're a Superman fan, if you're a comic movie fan, I would say anybody needs to watch this. Just to see what they would have done.
Oh,
I mean, it's fascinating to see what they would have done.
Unbelievable. I can't even believe that I missed that. Anyway.
That's how Barry feels.
It is.
Yeah,
he's reveling in it right now.
Yeah, he's totally. Gosh dang it.
And he didn't see it either.
Well, if you got it, let's watch. Let's share amongst the nerds, man. I'm down.
Blu-ray, we'll bring it over.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, I can't wait. Alika, you see anything on the Nightman this week? Or you been too busy running the show?
Oh, you know what? I did watch something for the first time that I should have watched a long time ago.
What'd you
and
watch?
And it was amazing. The Warriors.
Oh, great film.
Whoa, wait, from 1979.
Walter Hill.
Yeah.
You I watched seen it in New York City.
You never seen The Warriors?
I watched it after I had just traveled around. Yeah, we were just crashing on the couch and after a bunch of partying. And we were put on Netflix. I was like, The Warriors, I've never seen this.
It's great.
And the opening scene, I was like, just imagining that being a Key and Peele sketch. Why hasn't Key and Peele? Where they're calling out all the gang names. They're like, the East Side and the Crinkleberries. And you know, it's like, I could see that going on for like 10 minutes. Because they're so good with the fake name game, you know?
Well, there was the Moon Runners.
Yeah.
There was the...
I don't remember.
The... what were they? Oh, man, that's one of my favorite movies of all time.
The Warriors come out and play!
That's right. Yeah.
So great.
I love the Warriors. That is without a doubt one of the...
Walter Hill.
I'm telling you what, Walter Hill is an amazing director. One of the coolest things... Whenever I watch that movie, and I always see Cyrus do his whole Can You Dig It thing, I always thought that if he was such a dynamic speaker, that if he ever had made it out of there alive, 20 years down the road, Cyrus would have been a pastor in a church trying to take these guys out of being gangsters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's crazy, right?
And he would end his sermons with, Can You Dig It?
Right, right. But, I mean, who would be brave enough to make a film like that now?
So great. What we were talking about this when we were watching it is the 80s these urban fighting movies that were filmed in New York or took place in a city like New York, like Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What an amazing movie. Nobody will ever make something so whacked out and crazy as to be like this weird Chinese mythological martial arts, but yet we're, you know, in New York and we're actually gang affiliated and, you know, all this weird crap going on, and like it's actually part of a MTV style music video thing. Like, you know, all these layers upon layers of just pure 80s-ness that'll never happen again.
I have such a love and affection for the Warriors. It's not even funny. You could...
Now that I've seen it, it's one of my favorites.
When that movie came out, that movie was not only X-rated, it was banned.
Well, the first female character comes in and her shirt shows sheer. You can see, like, you know.
What is her name? Van Valkenburg? What is her name?
She's with the Orphans.
Right, she's with the Orphans.
And
she's with the Orphans.
She's totally clowning on
the And then
leader.
The Baseball Furies. Yeah. Love that
the
movie.
The Baseball Furies is the second gang,
yeah. Right, right. I love every single second of that movie. The worst thing, unfortunately, about that movie is John Beck, who is the worst actor of all time, who plays
is he the
lead.
Leader?
He's the lead after...
Well, I think they played him well then, because he just stood there quietly, even when people were talking, he just stand there like...
That's what he does. Listen, he hasn't been that good in a movie other than Xanadu. So just remember that, because he's also in Xanadu with Olivia Newton-John.
Swan?
But I'm so glad you... Yeah, Swan. I'm so glad you got a chance to see that. Warriors
so
is one of my favorite movies.
And
of
I had
time.
Just walked around all of New York City through the subway system and all that, so I had seen a lot of those places as we were doing it, you know.
Spoiler, by the way, what cut did you see? There's two different cuts.
It was on Netflix. So
okay, so then Netflix. Did you know that Walter Hill... comic book nerdiness here. Walter Hill looked at this as a comic book movie. They even did the
I mean, you can see with the ridiculous gang names. And
they
everything.
Did a director's cut where he would do shots of panels.
Well, I was going to say, when you're watching it and they have the radio shots that cut in and she's talking, like trying to get everybody, and even the language she's using.
Lynn
Finpin, so,
and her big lips.
And the lips on the microphone. It was so framed like a comic. Like, that's how they would segue in between things in a comic. Like, it was perfectly framed like that.
He did that. He made a director's cut in which he wanted to restore his original vision. And he would do those... He did those
as
comic
panels.
Book cuts. And he looked at the Warriors... If you can believe this. He looked at the Warriors like 300. It's from the same comic.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you...
Not the
like,
same comic, but the same point in history about the 300 that were being vanquished by the Persians.
Yeah, when you have, like, the 10 guys... And they can stand their ground against a city. Full
Correct.
Of, I mean, it was just an awesome epic, like translated to New York City. You know?
Oh, man.
It was awesome just to watch them try to journey home.
Barry?
And then they make it to the beach at the end.
Do you not love the Warriors?
I love the Warriors. No, I love most Walter Hill films. That's a special
That's
film.
True. 48 Hours, I love.
I just watched Wild Bill the other day. Wild Bill is...
Oh, the one with Jeff Bridges?
Yeah,
it's a great film. That's a great film, too. All right, so format. You see anything else other than Ant-Man twice this year? Or this this week?
Yeah, I don't know how much I can talk about it, though, because it's really...
You don't have to worry about spoiling
it. Was
it
Andalusian Dog?
No, I got to watch for the first time in my entire life the FP.
Holy crap,
FP,
the one from 2011?
Yes, sir.
About the Dance Revolution-style death matches?
Yes.
What?
You guys have never heard of this?
I have never heard of this.
No?
It is hilariously stupid.
Is it supposed to be funny?
Okay.
Yes.
But here's the thing, is that they play it completely straight in the movie.
Yeah.
Straight.
And they're like Dance competitors or something, and they kill
each
other?
No,
they're like gangs, and turf wars are determined by dance-offs.
To the death!
How do they kill in the dance-off? Do the dance moves have to kill them?
To the death, sir!
Do they just dance till they die? You gotta elaborate a little bit.
That's pretty much it. They dance until they die.
They might take a day or two of dancing
they dance
before
until
someone
they're
just
dead.
Keels over.
So, what... you don't want to spoil too much, because I know where you're going, because you... did you like it?
I did. I liked it, like, a lot, actually. I was really surprised. It's so funny, because the rating I would give it would be a 2... But I liked it so much, I upped it to a 3, just because.
Wow! Holy cow. You know the FP is in the... I can't even believe that all of us have not heard of that movie. That's an amazing movie.
It is so ridiculous.
Yep.
It's good.
I think that Barry, you'd appreciate it.
I've seen it.
Oh, you did see
it? Yeah, I saw it at the Denver Film Festival a couple of years back.
And? It's horrible, right?
I enjoyed it. I can't defend it, but I did enjoy
watching
it.
Right? Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, Gannon, you have to watch this movie.
Do I?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's fun just because there's nothing else like it.
Nothing.
Fair enough. Step Up meets Mortal Kombat?
No.
That's overselling it. That sounds good.
It does.
It sounds like a much better movie than the FK.
It's an amazement. It's an amazing achievement in total schlock. It's good.
I love me a good B or D or even.
Oh man, Z grade. I love. Enjoy. I love horrible movies. There's just something about terrible movies that I really like. So, speaking of something that isn't terrible, I'll tell you what I watched this week. I watched two movies this week. One being Creep by Mark Duplass and Patrick Bryce. It's a found footage movie. I don't want to get too much into it. Let's just say it is a take on the scary movies and fun. Let's say it's The Gallows minus the horrible acting, the stupid premise, and screaming teenagers. That's what it is.
Are you going off of me or did you see it?
No, I'm going off of what you said to me.
Yes. Yes.
You should watch it. It is on Netflix. It's called Creep. It's very interesting. I like the way it was shot. I enjoyed it. Mark Duplass was a little distracting because of who he is. You needed to see somebody you've never seen before in front of the camera doing that role because you don't really buy into the whole thing. So I give it about a 2.5-3 star rating on that film. It's a very interesting take. It's unique, and I think you'd appreciate it. I think you appreciate where Gannon would. I'm pointing to Gannon as if you can see him. Mm-hmm.
We're about to start filming ourselves.
I know, we're going to start filming this. This is going to have to get filmed. It's ridiculous.
And then people can do an It Sucks track to it.
Just so people know
what this sucks.
This is the worst podcast I've ever watched.
Why is Gannon sparkling?
That's right.
Why is Gannon sparkling?
Yeah. That's right.
You have no idea what we're all wearing, folks.
That's right.
Or what we're not wearing.
That's right.
It's just one giant shower scene.
Oh, and the final movie that I watched this week, and I figured that you guys would really appreciate it, every single one of you, is the film called Lost Souls, about the doomed Richard Stanley Island of Dr. Moreau movie. It's called Lost Souls. That's also on Netflix. It is so good. It is so enthralling. It is amazing.
Was Marlon Brando there?
Here's the thing. Marlon Brando is dead.
Oh.
But
kind of hard to interview him.
Sorry, yeah, he's a tough interview, especially when you nail that mic down to that coffin. He doesn't say much.
Could have done a seance, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
He thought he was a good actor.
Yeah, you know, he's good at playing dead. Here's the thing. Richard Stanley. A lot of you don't know this, but you're talking about visionary filmmaking in the '90s. Richard Stanley is responsible for one of the most visionary films in the 1990s, and I think that Gannon may know about this. I didn't think Format may know about this. Even you. Hardware. Anybody remember Hardware? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I actually saw that as a double feature at the moment.
RoboCop 2?
Yes,
me too,
sir.
Man. Yeah.
Holy crap. Hardware, if you've never seen it before, Richard Stanley was a young, up-and-coming, hungry filmmaker, decided to make this just this epically strange, yet futuristic, post-apocalyptic, mechanical nightmare. Is that a good way to describe it?
Yeah.
Called Hardware. If you've never seen it, you should. The next movie he made after that was called Dust Devil, which didn't do as well.
I like that movie
successful
a lot.
As successfully, but it was still a good flick.
Yes, it's really good.
So, here's the thing. After he made those two movies, he was tapped to make The Island of Dr. Moreau. They came to Richard Stanley and they said that they have a treatment of Island Dr. Moreau that they'd like him to do. Or he was interested in doing, and I should say it was reversed. He tapped the studios to say, let's make this movie about the Island of Dr. Moreau, because he was enthralled with it. He liked the movie with Charles Laughton. I believe it was called The Island of Lost Souls.
Lost Souls.
So he was really enthralled with making this thing. I don't want to give too much away other than that. Richard Stanley is he's a charismatic speaker. He's in this documentary. When he talks about what went on, he keeps you totally entranced because he's showing you these amazing storyboards and these amazing drawings that they had for Dr. Moreau and what he had planned. Well, the funny thing is that once everything was greenlit, Robert Shea, the man who is responsible for putting Wes Craven's Nightmare on Elm Street on the big screen, decided to come in and produce the film. In the 90s, New Line Cinema was doing trash cinema, essentially. They were doing a lot of trash cinema, and the big one was
I got excited. Whenever I saw the New Line logo on the screen, I would get excited.
Well, they called it
the
80s, not the 90s. Yeah, they said in the 80s, right, and then even the early 90s.
Yeah, in the 90s, they were making some pretty big movies.
In the 90s, when I saw the New Line.
Then it's not, then I shouldn't, that's not fair. When I say trash cinema, I mean like Grindhouse. Kind of stuff, maybe more.
Early on, they were. Yeah.
Early on.
Yeah.
They put out Eraserhead.
Eraserhead. Things like that. Yeah. So it was so this Island of Dr. Moreau sounded like a good idea, and they wanted to take Richard Stanley and do this whole thing. Once he got the green light to do all this stuff, and once they found a place in Australia, at the very tip of Australia, in the middle of effing nowhere. See, that's how you do it, Alika, right there.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Callback. Anyway, middle of nowhere, all right? This island becomes a free for all. Val Kilmer is on and off the project. Val Kilmer is a total prep school jackass. Pardon my French. Marlon Brando is a guy you do not want to work with. He's one of the worst people ever. They call John Frankenheimer in to take over. You know, I don't want to give anything else away, but this hour and 38 minute documentary needs to be seen. I think you guys will love it. It's amazing the things he had planned for this movie.
And speaking of docs, I actually did see something else that was what? I highly recommended.
What?
Is An Honest Liar, the story of the amazing Randy.
We talked about that last week.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
Such an amazing documentary.
It was a great documentary.
So great.
It's one of
the... And they catch you at the end. Like, you're like, what? Did he just say... And then, like, you're just like, this is a different documentary.
Totally.
Than what we were watching just a minute ago.
It's nice when they take the subject... And they turn the flashlight.
But it worked. It was keeping in the whole Honest Liar.
It wasn't this whole wonderful thing about Randy. It shone a light on his life.
And it like built to it.
Yeah.
It wasn't like shoved in your face.
It was amazing. Like I said, I talked about it last week. I told these guys they need to see An Honest Liar. Amazing movie.
Such a great.
It's an amazing documentary. So if there's two films I gotta agree with Alika on, it's number one, Honest Liar is amazing, but the Lost Souls movie, the one with Richard Stanley, you will love it, Gannon.
I've been meaning to see it. I didn't know it was on Netflix already.
Oh my gosh! As soon as I saw it, I was like, okay, what is it? 12:30? Frick it! I'm watching it. I'm doing it. That's what I did. So even format, I think you'd appreciate it. Do you guys remember the Island of Dr. Moreau?
I haven't seen it since it came out, but yeah.
It's terrible.
Forever immortalized in the South Park character of, right. You know, that guy right. With the handkerchief on his head.
Well, because it wasn't even supposed to be Val Kilmer and or Marlon Brando. Right. They had tapped other actors for this. They tapped like Bruce Willis.
And it sounds like they were
James Woods was aboard this thing. Rob Moreau, the guy from Northern Exposure, he was part of this. Never made it into the movie. The makeup was a revolutionary at the time because it was Stan Winston's studio. The disaster that this movie was is epic. You guys have got to see it. It's an amazing.
Did they get a lot of participation from actors?
Everybody. Kilmer too? Everybody. Kilmer was the only guy that wasn't because he's a jerk in the film. Obviously, this is why you know when I watch this movie. When I watch this movie, now I know why he's not working as like he used to. After you watch this movie, you'll understand it because everybody seems to have the same opinion of him. And it's not like they're all sitting in a room together. They're all separate interviews. And now this is why everybody has a different opinion of Val, and now I know why he is in the predicament that he is today, not making the major movies that he used to. This is probably one of the reasons why. It's not just this movie. It's the who he is. It's crazy. Even Marlon Brando, for that matter. Great actor, but that doesn't make you the nicest guy in the world. So it's freaking amazing. Anyway, Lost Souls, gotta see it. Anyway, gentlemen, I have successfully put Silent Sean to sleep. thanks a lot for that, Silent Sean. I'm so glad I could be of assistance to Lullaby.
So glad you made it tonight.
Yeah, so happy that you
Hopefully
made it tonight.
Hopefully the next time I met you, maybe air quotes.
Yeah.
You'll be doing embarrassing things like
so much for being the ombudsman and everything and, you know, correcting all that we say. Gentlemen, this week is... before we get out of here, this week we got some new movies. We got Southpaw. We got Jake Gyllenhaal. Right. And we also got the movie that we are all not looking forward to, but I think we're all going to watch, and that's Pixels. Pixels is on Friday.
The only reason Vatican to watch that movie looks like... Week too, though.
And which one?
Vatican Tapes.
Vatican Tapes comes out as well. It does with Michael Peña from Ant-Man. Yeah, he's in it as well.
Is he as funny in... It's what the Pope says.
It all depends on what the Pope says. But Pixels is coming out. Southpaw is coming out. Two big movies for the weekend. Are we there to watch Pixels? Southpaw, I can wait on. But Pixels, are we, Professor Barry? Or are you going to be watching Ant-Man this weekend? What's the deal?
I want to catch up with Ant-Man. Okay. I want to see Spy before it leaves. There's a bunch of good stuff out there. I haven't seen Minions yet.
Oh,
I want
Spy.
To see Trainwreck. Trainwreck's supposed to be hilarious.
Oh, that's right.
Trainwreck.
Yeah, Trainwreck.
I got to see that.
I would like to see Trainwreck just because I've heard good things about it.
Yeah.
Have you watched the Amy Schumer show?
Here's the thing, though. A lot of these girl power shows get extra points.
It's not girl
critics.
Power. It's not girl power.
I don't know.
This is like Sarah Silverman funny. It's actually funny. Unless you're extremely annoyed by Sarah Silverman.
I don't think her comedy is very funny. I mean, I thought she was good in Wreck-It Ralph, but I mean, her voice acting, but that was it.
Did you like her show, how absolutely absurd and stupid? I like that kind of humor.
I love
stupidity.
I have never watched her show, to be honest.
It's so childish that you just like, wow, that's funny.
Really?
It's so stupid.
All right, maybe I gotta watch it. But, all right, so I guess we're not on board with Pixels. No one's like, Peter Dinklage.
If you just do a super cut with Peter Dinklage scenes, I'll
watch it. I'm gonna see it just because I was a fan of the fan-made thing that this is based off of.
Yes.
So, I want to see what they
end up doing
with it. I'm not a huge fan of Sandler and Company, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just me.
Well, listen. They all can't be blended.
There's cream of the crop.
Blended always come up.
Isn't that right, Jesus. Professor Barry? They all can't be blended, right?
That's right.
I'm looking forward to it. Well, listen, if you guys want to go, let me know. I'll see if we can put something together and we can go watch Pixels this weekend.
What is everybody looking forward to that's still coming out? Like, what's the big summer movie that's left?
Summer movie?
Yeah. Never mind.
Mission Impossible on the 31st, which is next.
Mission Impossible.
End of the month. I'm not looking forward to it, but I am curious about it, and that's Vacation with Ed Helm.
Yeah.
I'm interested.
Anybody else Straight out of Compton? That's like.
Yeah! Yeah!
That's
yeah!
A big
okay,
one.
Yeah!
That's
right,
a big
yes.
one.
Can I tell you something? I'm very worried about Straight out of Compton.
Yeah, but you hate
anything that involves black people.
Sir, you're not going to get shot at the theater. That's true. You're going to be following.
No, what I don't like is the fact that for as much as I would like to see that movie. I don't think it's going to be fair. It's going to shine a light on how wonderful and how outspoken and how good
NWA was.
That's
the point of
their
story.
No, but the point is that they weren't, because these are middle these were guys that came from, you know, middle America households. These guys weren't all living in the ghetto. These guys came from, you know,
but they had that background. Well-to-do middle class. It's not like they were all, you know, with their ascots going, "Let's make a rap album, guys. Let's really make our parents really mad."
No, but
you know what I mean. That's
listen,
not what's going
I'm
on.
I'm not
there.
Mad at them. I mean, you know, I like the Dre and I like the McWrens and.
Like, I grew up on this music. Like it or not, this is what was bumping through every 5th and 6th grader's
head at
the time.
That's true.
Yeah.
And Eazy-E.
That's right.
Their public school buses rode through Crenshaw.
That's right. I like that. And listen, I like the Dr. Dre's and the Ice Cubs. That's fine. I get it. It's Ice Tray. I'm sorry.
Do you think it's going to be, like, Notorious? Like, the B.I.G. film? Like, a little too... Because that movie was... It was made heavily with the cooperation of his family, and it wasn't especially.
They might as well have put a halo over the head of the Notorious B.I.G. in that movie.
The Tupac in that movie sucked, by the way.
Yeah, he did.
Really?
Suck.
You didn't like Anthony?
I didn't like that.
Tube Sock.
Is it Mackie?
Tube Sock.
Was that
Shaker?
Anthony Mackie as Tupac?
I think it might. Well, you might have
was
been
it
right.
Mackie?
I think it was Mackie.
I've seen it so long ago, but I remember not liking Tupac. No.
So Gannon. Straight out of Compton, not doing it for
I'll
you.
Go see it.
You go see it.
I'll go see it.
You go see it, right? I mean, there's a
and that hard driving beat over the whole commercial. It just makes you like get amped. You want to go riot?
Oh man, cruising right. down the street in my 6'4".
Let's put it on right now.
Yeah,
straight out
that's
of
a good
Compton.
Way to close out the show.
I was going to say though, like it's kind of odd to hang the whole movie on the head of Ice Cube's son. It's like he's an untested actor,
right?
And to hang the whole movie off, it
and seems they all are. They're all intestines.
Yeah.
But so was Ice Cube, and he like had a huge movie career.
Yeah. But he wasn't playing himself, and it wasn't a dramatic kind of film.
Wasn't this supposed to be the movie that was going to be on VH1 or something, or was that something else?
No, this is something Cube's been working on for a long time.
I don't know. I listen, if you guys watch it, I'll watch it. I mean, look.
I'm going to wait a few weeks before I go see it, just so all the riffraff goes. Yeah.
Right.
Wait till all this Rachel Dolezal stuff comes down.
Listen, I like the hip-hop, guys. I don't...
The hip-hop.
I get it.
There's more than one hip-hop. Get with it, G.
I like the hip-hop. No, but seriously, in all honesty, I do. I really do. It's just some of the... I don't know. Anyway, I'm an 80s kid, so I get a lot of the 80s stuff, with the exception of them, because they're from the 90s. So I'll go watch Straight Outta Compton if anybody wants to see it. I just get flashbacks
to
Boys in the Hood.
I love Boys in the Hood, too. Y'all want to see a dead body? I was saying that crap for like 3 years after seeing her movie.
That's coming out.
That's coming out as well. The Man from Uncle.
That doesn't look that good.
Nope. Yeah. No, it doesn't.
Looks nothing like The Man from Uncle.
Exactly. The Man from Uncle. But that
you know
what
we
come
all
out
forgot to point out? It's only a couple weeks. Fantastic Four.
That shows how excited everybody is about it.
I know. That's the whole point.
Although I'm going in there with an open heart.
Wow. That's different than coming in with an open mind.
You know
mind.
What? It's Josh Trank's second film after Chronicle, so that's my pass on that movie. We'll see how it goes.
All right, we definitely have
to see it. I find it interesting, though, that in the trailer, everything is green now.
It's in The Matrix.
No, because when they first released the trailer, everything was like a lava background. Everything was red.
Yeah.
Oh, the lava's then, green now.
Yeah, it's all green now. I don't understand what that's
good,
all
good
about.
Good point.
I noticed that in the trailer. This may be
a stupid observation, but maybe it has something to do with Doom. Maybe.
Yeah.
Well,
Doom. He looks like Blight.
True. Good point.
Even though Blake is a
and
DC
I think it's dumb character. That he's not wearing the mask. It doesn't even look.
No, it looks like it's actually part of his skin.
It's
like
part
he's,
of his, yeah.
Like he's been melded with machine technology or something. It's weird.
You'd have to bring up Fantastic Four in this conversation. What a downer.
We were talking
about it's a
fox.
Yeah,
coming out, man.
All right. I'm just answering Barry's question.
Anything else you want to know, Barry? No, I'm just kidding.
What like the plot to Ant-Man?
No, I know that. You guys looking forward to the Shyamalan film? That really intriguing trailer,
The Visit.
The Visit. Yeah. It's a found footage horror film that he wrote and directed. Oh, he shot it for like $2 in secret last summer. And it's, the word is that this could be his comeback.
I'm sorry,
but it is
I
a
just
found
footage
horror
footage
film.
Wow.
I'm just hoping it gives him enough traction to do that Unbreakable sequel.
Yeah!
I feel like you can still do that sequel now.
This is the perfect amount of time to do that sequel.
Yeah. Does he want to do it? Has he said anything?
He's been talking about it. A couple interviews. Yeah. I think Bruce Willis is the only nut who has a crack on that one.
I love Willis, but he'll do anything right now.
I don't think you really need Willis.
He'll make another Die Hard.
No?
I mean, that was the greatest, and I'll say it, the greatest comic book movie of that time. Even though all those new comic book movies are coming out, and we are getting the beginnings of it. That was the best one in
that
time.
I agree.
Yeah, that was a big. That was the same year as Unbreakable.
Yeah,
not Unbreakable.
Definitely. Unbreakable was in the same year.
It was the same year that X-Men came out too. I mean,
I hated X-Men. I loved Unbreakable.
And at that point, the only comic movie out at the time was Blade. Nobody was making comic movies yet.
Blade stopped
after a while. Blade was kind of the start of it.
Yeah. And they're talking with Wesley Snipes to bring him back as Blade, which I actually like it. I think it might do well because I can't picture anybody else's Blade. Because if you do the original 70s Blade, he was such a stereotype. He had like the pimp jacket. He had an afro. Like, what other Blade are you gonna do?
I see.
Aside from Wesley Snipes,
you know what? That's a white guy this time.
Yeah.
Damn.
Why not?
Wow.
I'm gonna say it.
Wow.
I really mess with a lot of people.
Wow.
Well, you could do it the other way around. So let's do it the other way now.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just made the whole damn room quiet.
No, I mean, I actually kind of want to see that. That would be fair.
Or a white chick.
If you're not going to get Wesley Snipes, kid.
Or go even weirder with making an Asian guy.
Listen.
Oh,
actually, he would fit.
That would make sense.
With the samurai sword? Yeah, that's Blade's weapon is a sword, man.
No, but the thing is that Wesley Snipes is...
He's
black. It's not like... Right.
He's like holding a level of black.
Wesley?
Right?
Wesley Snipes. No, but
the Wesley. Isn't he the guy they reference when they speak about Shades of Blade? He's like, are you Wesley Snipes?
No, but it's not like Wesley Snipes. It's not like Marvel is knocking at the door of Wesley Snipes.
No,
it's,
but they're they talked.
No,
they've had meetings about it.
That's because Wesley's over there going, hey!
I still got to pay this tax bill.
I'm still here. Because he needs something to do.
I'll do this really, really cheap.
I would like to see it.
He's like, I'll do it really cheap.
Whatever you guys pay Robert Downey Jr. and Iron Man 1, I'll
Well, you know
that.
He's not getting his own standalone. He's not going to get his own standalone.
No, he won't. But
so he'll pop in there. It's just like...
What I can see if they actually did pull Wesley Snipes and throw him in the Daredevil show.
Hey, that's cool. Yeah, hey, no.
He's more of an underworld character anyway. He doesn't belong in the movie.
Now that might work.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bring him to the street level. Great.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I could dig that. I could totally get into that.
Dude, that would be a whole season of Daredevil with vampires.
Yeah.
Blade, 13 episodes of Blade, I could dig it.
Hell yeah.
I could totally dig that. That'd be great, man. Netflix is the way to go, I guess. Jeez Louise. Oh, there's so many movies still. And then we still have... We still have a lot of things coming up. I mean, that for the summer, that's we still have Star Wars to look forward to. We've got
Bond.
We've got Bond to look forward to. Spectre.
Did you say Point Break? Point Break. Nobody's looking forward to that. Man.
I wasn't gonna say Point Break. I was gonna say yes, Point Break. But I'm saying those are the movies.
Watching
I left.
The original Point Break is what you meant, right? I look forward to that too.
But I think this summer is wrapping up fairly well. I mean, there isn't anything too spectacular. The last comic book movie, I believe, is Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
And then the last real big movie, I think, is The Man from U.N.C.L.E., I think.
Agent
44. Yeah, Agent 44.
What is that?
Hitman.
No, it's Agent 47.
Oh, Hitman, 47. Really?
It's Agent 47, the Hitman movie. The
I saw a preview a long time ago.
I don't even know how
that
movie got a sequel.
Into it.
Like, how did that happen?
It's not a sequel.
This is a reboot.
It's a reboot.
Already? It just came out a couple years ago.
Timothy Oliphant's
version was awful. The
other
guy wasn't
awful.
Bold enough or something.
It was freaking awful. Oh my gosh, what a nightmare.
And
anyway.
They reboot, what, Transporter also?
They did. Right. They rebooted Transporter.
That's in September, though, I think.
Transporter Reloaded.
AJ's and Satham, I don't really want to see it.
I don't either. There's a show
it's
called
TV
The Transporter.
Show, Transporter.
Yeah. So, man.
Shared Universe Transporter?
Ugh.
It actually makes sense as a TV show, I gotta say. Sure. Like, that premise does make sense as a TV show, but again, no Statham. I don't care.
No Statham, you're not watching.
He's a lot of fun in that character.
Alright.
I'd watch six of those movies, even though the last one, I mean, I guess they all sucked, really, now I think about it. The third one in particular was horrible.
Right. Okay, listen, I totally forgot something, and I totally remembered it now. All right, before we go, Barry, we're ending with Barry. We've put you through the ringer tonight because you did not see Ant-Man.
You did.
And you deserved it. But here's the thing. You did something this weekend or this week that I'm very proud of you for. I look at you as a pillar of the show. I look at you as a pillar in my life.
This is beautiful.
Are you about to propose to him?
Are you getting down on one knee?
Very special episode.
Yeah, this is a super special episode.
You on my recommendation, yes, as well as Gannon's recommendation, you, sir, watched the film It Follows.
Yeah.
So before we go, why don't you give us your review of the movie It Follows?
Well, again, thank you, both of you, for recommending it, because I wanted to see it, but your insistence that I need to see this film, it's one of the best films of the year, is really why I went out of my way to catch it this week. What to say about this movie? I appreciate that you two really didn't spill anything about it, because that's the only way to see this movie.
Yep.
If you had told me what it was about, I would have said, no, I'll wait. But that sounds ridiculous. And seeing the film, the premise is very bold, and it's very on the nose. You could almost say it's a little obvious at times, in terms of talking about the fear of sex. And I mean this both as a compliment and both as kind of a very honest statement, but... If I was 14 years old and still a virgin had seen this movie, I would have been terrified.
Isn't that what I said? An urban legend. This is
the kind of movie that, if I was still a young teen, this movie would have been the most terrifying ever. Because I'm a grown man, it's a different experience, and I'm watching this movie kind of as a metaphor, a very obvious, blatant metaphor for the fear of sex, the fear of intimacy, the fear of making those kind of connections.
I want to hear bragging the nerds about how much sex that you have or something here, Professor Barry. That's what it sounds like
just
a little bit.
Just because I've had
just
so
because.
Much sex.
It ain't called virgin watch.
That's right. It's not. That's true. Good point. Anyway, so.
It's called once every couple months.
You're a mature.
If you're looking.
How dare you, sir.
you're a mature adult that is in a adult relationship.
Look, for those of you who don't know me, I'm nearly 40 years old. So like the time of my life where because this is about that time when you're a teenager and sex is like the Everest of your life.
Sure.
Thinking about, looking forward to, like, when will it happen? That's the mindset of this film. That's who this film is for, I think, even though it's an R-rated horror
film.
Some
of the people that listen to this show are still waiting.
Yeah, yeah. And, and some of them are my age, and they're still waiting. But,
good point.
Well, Dan's your age, your people like
that. Good point.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah. Do you have to say my name?
I've reused my virginity a couple times in my life.
You know, I don't know.
We're not just doing this for us.
I just, what the heck, man? I don't,
wow.
Listen, you may be lucky that this may not pick that up.
I hope to God not. It's
going some interesting
directions. Anyway, it follows, sir.
It follows. Go ahead.
You were saying.
I mean, this is high praise. The film does something that I've only seen Kubrick do as well. It actually makes nudity deeply unsettling.
It does.
In the same way that The Shining and Eyes Wide Shut takes, you know, what would normally be titillating, makes it deeply unsettling and actually makes it very fearful. The premise itself is quite outlandish. It's one of these things, the more I think about it, like, I think this would, it almost strikes me, I wonder if the director had this as a nightmare and just immediately started writing down what he experienced, because it has that very strong nightmare logic. I loved it for the same reason you guys did. The atmosphere is sensational, the performances are not forced, in fact, it's very natural. It didn't seem to have any of those cliches. I mean, we're not talking about the jock, the stoner, the smart guy, the nice girl. Right. These seem to be really normal, average teenagers. Yeah. These were very familiar-looking places, and you know, like it has kind of an '80s feel, and yet I think this looks like and feels like suburbia. In some places, it actually reminded me a little bit of Phantasm too. Not only in the nightmarish feel, but also just the way suburbia looks so sinister and menacing, and open air suburbia.
It's so funny because you never think about it until they pick up a cell phone, because you're thinking, oh yeah, it's like 2015.
Yeah,
yeah, you're right, absolutely right.
Yeah, and I liked. It's a bit of a slow film, and I think that'll be the problem for a lot of people. Though the film did,
it's intentional though.
It did, and I think it works. I don't, you know, I've never. A movie being leisurely paced has never been a problem for me, but I know for some people, especially people expecting a conventional horror movie, will have a problem with that. What's nice is that the stuff when the movie does get really crazy, it feels like it just comes out of nowhere, and it is very jarring when the movie takes these bizarre turns into the supernatural. I like the film. I hope they never do a sequel. I hope there's never a sequel or a remake. I think it's fine all by itself. I think it would be a real gift if this filmmaker did another horror film, because this is the kind of horror films that we should be seeing more of. It's unique. It's fresh. It doesn't feel... It's one of these movies that you're watching and you're saying, this movie could take me anywhere. And it does. It takes you in some very, very strange directions. Not all of it works. It takes some really weird chances.
You did say directions, yes?
I think I did.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so I liked the film. I did. I liked it very much. I don't think I liked it quite as much as you guys did, but I do like the film, and I admire it.
You didn't like it as much as we did?
No.
Oh, my gosh. Where would you put it, then?
I'd say it's a 3-star film.
Oh, my gosh.
I think it's a strong film.
3 stars are high for Barry, though.
That's very true.
You can't...
Listen.
3 stars for Barry is like 5 for the rest of us.
Right?
Exactly. Is there any 5-star movie? I want to know what's your 5-star
Here's
movie?
The thing.
Well, it's a 5-star
movie. I can tell you.
It is House Party.
It's House Party. Is it 5-star?
Really? Is it 5?
And according to format, anything that there is just... There's no vocals and just music. It's silent. That's a 5-star epic for Professor Barry, apparently.
Well, it goes without saying. That's like whenever I watch
without saying.
When I watch the FP, I immediately 5-star.
That's right. So, but you would say this is a unique film, though.
It's unique, and it's a special film in that it's a horror film. You're watching it. And it has it's clearly a movie that loves its genre, but at the same time, it feels distinct. It feels observant, especially observant about teenagers. That it actually has something. I think it has something of value to say about the mindset of teenagers going through this particular.
Because it's not typical. Instead of breaking up the group, they're bringing them closer together, which is fascinating.
And because, without giving anything away, because the threat is more cerebral than physical. It reminds me, it's almost like a smarter version of Final Destination, in the sense that you don't really see the threat. It's more of a psychological threat. It's more about the dynamic between everyone who's afraid of the threat. In Final Destination, they're talking about death's design. In this case, it's really the fear of intimacy, the fear of what that means for all of us on a personal level, but also what that means in terms of a social way.
Right. And like I said, this is its own urban legend. You would be afraid to partake in the act of...
If I was 13 years old and I heard that there was any chance of this being a true story, then I'd probably still be a virgin right now.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. All right. So there I'm glad. Listen, I'm glad you watched
it. I'm glad that full circle.
I'm glad you liked it. All right. So if you are someone that doesn't... that's not too squeamish, she definitely wants it follows.
And if you're 13 years old and you're considering abstinence, I've got a film for you.
Because you know what's funny? It's even better than Jason.
It's a smarter film than
no, Jason. And I mean that as in, like, Jason always goes after the kids that are drinking and having sex. And,
right.
You know, this is a much smarter film than that.
It's a smarter film, but it's a similar idea. And it's interesting that these horror films, you know, they're tapping into that. It's almost like these threats are something of, like, a moral force, you know? It's like right. They're, you know, they're punishing, you know, these kids for...
That's why I was like...
I've actually seen it compared a lot to the first Elm Street. Just that sense of an imposing doom that they can't escape from.
Right. I was all for Freddy, you know, killing all these kids and things like that for all of their nefarious teenage activities.
Yeah, like sleeping.
Yeah.
And having, having
sex. And then I find out he's a pedophile. I'm like, oh, great. He's no hero. Jason, though, he's a hero.
You know, he was a nerd. He would be at home in the podcast.
Yeah, he would. He absolutely would. I'd love to have
right there with Silent Sean.
I was going to say, you wouldn't have much to say. And we might not make it to the end of the podcast.
Right,
I think I'll be here for that one.
Yes, yes, though. The scene that kind of tips off the plot point of It Follows, where the young female protagonist is tied to the wheelchair. Why?
Okay. Okay, here's the thing. Is that I do not want to give too much away, but
I
will say this. I think it was because of the act of what he did. He knew that she would run once she woke up, and I think that was the reason why. And the fact is that he wanted her dead anyway. That's all I'll say. What do you think?
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Because he
needed to at least explain the rules. He wanted a path. I don't think he wanted her dead, though. I think
don't think so?
No, I think... Well, I mean, if he wanted her dead, he would just have left her there. But then, you know, 5 minutes later, he would have been screwed. I think it was more of he just needed to pass it on just to get it one step away from him. But when I watched... But again, you can poke holes in anything.
You could.
I mean, when you see... You know, it's not spoiling anything, but one of the characters is, like, walking around looking at prostitutes later.
Yeah,
and I was thinking, like, if this were me, that's the first thing I would have done, is I would have bought me some time.
Right. Good point.
I would have bought me some real time there.
Good point. Now, speaking of poking holes. anyway, this has gotten out of hand.
Man, I got yelled at for swearing. Can I drop an extra F-bomb
First now? Of all, it wasn't me that made the most inappropriate comment on this podcast. It happened to be the peanut gallery over there.
Yeah. For real.
Jeez. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, Format, Gannon, Presserberry, Alika. Man, if there's one thing we're going to tell you today is that you must watch Ant-Man. It was an amazing movie. A lot of fun. Professor Berry, I cannot wait till you see this. It's going to be...
You missed out.
You're going to love it. You're going to love it. I'm telling you right now.
Maybe not so much now.
Right, that's true.
This is that part I heard about.
That's right. All he's going to be thinking about is how pissed he is at us, which is going to be great.
Those abs are amazing.
The shower scene delivers.
That certainly delivers, doesn't it? Well, gentlemen, if we want to see Prixels, please let me know. You can, by the way, you can follow us here at the Nerdwatch at facebook.com/TheNerdWatch or at Twitter at Nerdwatch Nation as well. And something that I very rarely ever use, but it pops up once in a while.
Does our Twitter
there
work?
Is. It does.
Oh, okay.
I put up the podcast on there.
Oh,
yeah. Awesome. There's one thing that I don't use as often, and you know, please feel free if you guys want to take it over. Our Instagram is the_NerdWatch. I'm clueless how to make Instagram work, as in like what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. I don't know.
Just keep posting until you get banned.
Okay. That's good.
Take lots of pictures of what you're eating that day, like
right, exactly.
Right.
Well, they unbanned the fat Jewish, so you got to do something really bad to get banned from Instagram.
Oh, that is true. That is true. Well, didn't Chrissy Teigen get banned because she was showing pictures of her?
Why?
Nipples or something?
Yeah. Nipple.
Yeah, that's what they said. She got banned for that. So I don't know. I don't know how Instagram works. But anyway, yeah, we got that. Also, want to send a big shout out to Alika for having us, hosting us here at the Nerd Watch at Maui Comics and Collectibles. Listen, if you happen to be in town.
You're welcome.
You know, if you happen to be in town at 333 Derry Road, come on by. It's a great place. Beautiful comics. Beautiful collectibles.
There's so much room now.
There is. And there's beautiful people that work here, like Alika. He's a nice guy. Aww. Beautiful inside and out. Except when he swears on my freaking podcast.
Oh man, I created 5 seconds of work.
He's not the
man.
First one, though.
That's true, he's not. You are the first
I'm
one.
I'm the first
that's
one.
Right. That's right, Gannon is the very first one.
I'll direct this to him.
No, that was good. Good thing that one didn't end up on 88.5, so that's good. That's a good one. Anyway, stay tuned, of course, if you're listening to us on KAK, you can catch more of what we're talking about here on the podcast, which you can get on iTunes, and which you can, of course, get on any of the podcast aggregates that you use. So, ladies and gentlemen, wonderful show yet again. Wanted to send a big shout out to Silent Sean for being in the house and snoring through my podcast.
It's a confidence
makes a guy feel good, you know.
I hope it shows up.
I totally wanted to, man. And next time, maybe no chicks. I'm just kidding.
Something just wasn't right about this one.
Yeah, something wasn't right. It was chicks in the house. Anyway, ruins the vibe. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. We love you. Anyway, we're out of time, ladies and gentlemen. So until next week, hopefully we'll have a Pixels review. Hopefully we'll have another Ant-Man review. And go on and watch a movie. Watch Ant-Man. You've got to check it out. Until next time, boys and girls, peace out. Much love, and most assuredly, always stay nerdy. And until next time, we say to you, aloha.